the pressures of life are too hard for you. You feel forsaken. Nobody knows what you're going through.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on, bless him while you got a chance. Isn't he worth it? Isn't he wonderful? Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody woke up this morning with no doubt. Who did it? Nobody but the Lord. Amen. Amen. You know the Lord will take care of you. You know he will provide. And you know he'll guide you all the way. Not some of the way, all the way. Yes, he will. Tell your neighbor, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Come on, tell your other neighbor, yes, he will. Tell him I'm a living witness. I know he will. Yes, he will. Glory to God. Glory. Glory. Father, we thank you now for knowing who you are and knowing that you will. We bless you in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being God. Not because of, but in spite of, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we thank you and reverence your name. We bask in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Would you now, Holy Spirit, fall fresh upon us that we might hear a word to go with our praise. Help us be better and be excited about who you are and be excited about having a relationship with you. Bless us now, Father, as we open into your word, searching your oracles. See how we can be better and greater for you. Thank you, O God, for what's going to come from this word today. That the lives that will be changed, the souls that will be saved, the destinies that will be altered. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the shifting. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I yield myself to you. Ask your Father, have your way. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning, saints of God. What a blessing it is to be amongst the living in the land of the dying. God has done it again. He's granted us another day that we do not deserve. It's because of his grace and mercy that we're here again. Jeremiah says it, that because of his mercies are new every morning. Every morning it was full of new grace, new mercy. And we thank God for this day. To all of our ministers that are here and to our staff and all of you, my father's children, those of us who are worshiping physically, those who are worshiping virtually, we thank God for your presence. We appreciate you here. Thank you for worshiping with us. You could have chosen anywhere else in the world, but we thank God that you let New Zion be your worship partner for today. And to God be the glory. We pray that God will continue to bless you and keep you and strengthen you and move by his spirit. Amen. God's got great things in store for you. If you knew how blessed you were, it'll knock your socks off. Amen. How blessed you are, it'll knock your socks off. Amen. I solicit your prayers as we prepare to share this word that God has sent us on assignment today to share this word with God's people. And I pray you'll be blessed from this word. Turn, if you would, to the book of Job, chapter number 2. The book of Job, Old Testament passage. It's not Job, it's Job. Don't you tell nobody you read from Job today. Folk will laugh at you. You tell them that you read out of Job. So you tell them you read out of Job today. Old Testament passage of scripture, Job chapter number 2. We're gonna, Holy Spirit has guided us to two verses in this particular second chapter. And we'll see what the Lord had to say to his people on today. Job chapter 2, let's look at verses 9 and 10 for the benefit of preachment on today. Job chapter 2, beginning at verse number 9, Bible reads thusly. Then said his wife unto him, "Thus thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this," somebody say, "in all this."
All this.
"In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Amen. That's enough. The grass withers and the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall last and stand forever. Amen. I want to tag this text this morning, when it all falls apart. When it all falls apart. The good news for me this morning is that as a preacher and having the microphone, you can easily be transparent and be honest. But the challenge is going to be for those of you who are under the sound of my voice, who can attest to me, with me, that life many times is difficult. Life is filled with swift transitions. Life has its ebbs and flows. It has its ups and downs. It has its twists and turns. It would be erroneous for me to tell you this morning that just because you read your Bible, go to church, say yes ma'am, say no ma'am, eat your vegetables, exercise, or polite, pious, you know every hymn, you know every Dr. Watts, you know church policy and polity, you know procedures, and just because you know that, life will still throw you some curveballs. It's erroneous for me to tell you today that everything is going to go the way you want it to go. And we have erroneously the last 25, 30 years told folk that when they join church, everything is going to be the way they want it to be, because we want them to be saved so bad that we don't tell them that there is still life after the baptism, after you partake of the Lord's Supper, after you shake hands, right hands with your neighbor, that when you go back home, it's still there. You go to work that next day, it's still there. You still may have a doctor visit. You still may have financial issues. But the truth of it all is that when you are a child of God, it's not avoiding life. It's learning how to handle life when it comes. Our challenge today is to help all of us keep it together when it's all falling apart. How do I not lose my mind in the midst of my misery? How do I keep my praise and I've got so many problems? Now, I'm going to need you to be transparent and honest with yourself. I don't need you to look out a window today at somebody else. I need you looking in that mirror and see that sometimes my life is troublesome. Job also says in this particular book that a man born of a woman is of a few days, and those days are filled with trouble. What makes you think that because you're so great that you won't have troubles in your life? You know what? You can rebuke some stuff. It's still coming. You can deny it. It's still there. I don't receive that. It received you. Sometimes we got to deal with life as it is. What do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Here's the critical question for this message. What do you do when God seems odd? When the very God who saved you, blessed you, prospered you, kept you and preserved you, permits trouble in your life, permits pain in your life. How is he so merciful and my heart is broken? How is he so great and he sees me like this? He sees my condition, and I'm supposed to praise him, worship him, glorify him. It seems like he's doing me wrong, because there are times, ladies and gentlemen, that God seems odd. What do you do when you can't blame the devil for your trouble, but God is responsible for your trouble? When you look at the core and the root of your issue, you go find God. We like to say the devil is the cause of everything. But what do you do when God is your problem? You know, we got scripture to handle the devil. Resist him, he'll flee. Speak the word, he'll flee. What's your answer for God? I know how to handle the devil when I see one. I can rebuke the devil. I can speak the word against the devil. What do you do when God is your problem? Do you know there are seasons in your life when God is your problem? But you must trust him enough to know he's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to develop you to be the very best you he has called you to be. And what better way but to send trouble in our lives? Here it is. I'm going to tell the truth. You don't have to, because you don't have a microphone. You can sit there with a mask on, but I'm unfortunately called to tell you the truth. If everything went my way, I probably wouldn't pray like I ought to. I'll just talk about me. I'm not going to bother you. I'm just going to talk about me. If every I was dotted, every T was crossed, I would start thinking I'm special. And I would not worship like I should. I would not praise like I ought to. I wouldn't give like I should. I wouldn't love because I would think life is all about me. I can name it and claim it. I can blab it and grab it. I can call it and haul it. And if everything went my way, you couldn't talk to him. I'm just going to talk about me. I'm not going to be bothering you today. But I do know for a fact, it's a few more folk in this room who know, just like I know, if the Lord was not keeping me and blessing me, if I didn't realize how messed up I was, I probably wouldn't be here in the church right now. It took trouble to push you to your destiny. It takes trouble to push you to your calling. It takes trouble to push you to who God wants you to be, because if everything goes the way we want it, we wouldn't be here today. I wonder if I were to poll this room and poll this avenue of social media, would we even be on here unless something going on? Because, you know, you can tell people have cycles. People have their own cycles. Sometimes, sometimes you show your hand? Sometimes I can tell from a pastoral standpoint when y'all got a man or a woman. When things are going well in your life, when you don't need anything, you got your check, you got your car, you got your income tax, things going well, you're on a vacation, not a vacation, a vacation. We can tell why we don't see you. We show our hands often. That when it's going well, no big deal. But Lord, let some trouble come. Something inside of us says, I need to be in the house of God. I need to go get God to fix this thing. And guess what? God knows it. That's why he lets some trouble come in your life. Because if it were not for trouble, he wouldn't have you and I. Here's the good news. God knows who he can trust with trouble. God doesn't trust everybody with trouble. If you are dealing with some troubles today and you still love God, you're in good company. In some way, shape, form, or fashion, you can glorify God if you still say you love him and you got trouble in your life. You can praise him because that means he trusts you with a measure of trouble. Now, it takes faith to get there. And so let's talk about this brother Job, who maybe can help us and give us an example. Job was considered an upright man from the land of Uz, and he is doing right in the eyes of God. He has integrity in the eyes of God. He has 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, and a wife. Y'all stick a pin there, because I got to come back to Mrs. Job in a few moments. Bible says that a meeting takes place. The sons of God come before God, and God asks Satan. Satan's name means the accuser. Because he's looking to and fro, seeing who he can accuse and say, who don't love God? They don't fool with you. They don't like you. They just in their church because things are going well. And so Satan, God asked Satan, Satan, where you come from? And he says, I've been coming from the earth, walking to and fro. He says, well, since you're looking, I know not you're not just walking the earth. You're walking for a purpose. You're looking for somebody to bring against me and me against them. So God, watch this. Watch the setup. God says, have you considered Job? Now, if Satan had any sense, he wouldn't have went with God's suggestion. I'll come back to that in a minute. God suggests Job. Have you considered Job? Satan says, I don't walk to and fro looking. Why would God pick Job to consider and not me or you? Ooh, that's a deep question right there. God already knows who can handle the heat. Have you considered my servant Job? Well, he said, I have seen Job. He said, but the problem with Job is, y'all let me to kind of paraphrase this. The problem with Job, the only reason Job fooled you, because he got wealth. He got stuff. He's got 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 team of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and servants. Job, my friend, is loaded. If there was the man, Job would be the man. He's got integrity and ducats. He's got money, and he's looking good in God's eyes. Ooh, man. And so Satan says the only reason he's upright is because you're giving him stuff. So God says, all right, I'll let you attack his stuff because I know Job is not tied into me by his wealth. Because here's the shout. Job knows not what he has. Job knows who gave it to him. I wish I had some folk who would help me testify that you know deep down you don't know enough. You can't buy enough. It was just the Lord who gave it to you. You're walking in favor. You're walking in the blessings of God. You can't brag on anything because you know who gave it to you. But watch this. Watch this. Watch this. God says, all right, I permit you, Satan, to attack his wealth. And so this now, here's the problem. Satan and God talking, nobody talks to Job. Ain't that a shame this morning, y'all? That God and the devil are talking about you and you don't even get a vote. Maybe I'm just talking to myself. I would like to have some input about my own life. God and Satan talking about me, and I ain't got nothing to say about it. Attack him, consider him, use him. I ain't volunteer. Here it is. Now he gets a report that a group of people called Sabaeans have raided him, and they have stolen his animals and killed his farmhands. While he's getting that report, here comes another report that says to him, a fire of God from heaven or a lightning bolt has struck and burned his sheep and his shepherds. While he's getting those two reports, he gets a third report that says a group of Chaldean raiders, three teams of Chaldean raiders now, have attacked and destroyed him, and now they've stolen his camels and they've killed the rest of his servants. Then while he's getting those three reports, because the Bible says as they were saying this, as they were saying that, he gets a fourth report that says while your children were having dinner in your oldest son's house, a wind from the wilderness comes and strikes the house on all four corners, knocks the house down, it collapses, and kills all your children. While he got one report, here came another. While he's getting that report, here came another. While he's getting that report, it came another. Maybe this is where it comes, where we say, if it ain't one thing, just like that, his life changes forever about something he didn't even choose. Job did nothing wrong. Now I've lost. All because Satan and God testing me. Because Satan's premise is, you'll stop praising and worshiping God when I take your stuff. Has anybody felt like in season in their life that somebody just playing a game with you? You feel kind of like Pinocchio and Geppetto just got you it's like some stuff going on because you didn't even ask for it. It just keep coming to your address. If it ain't the freezer, it's the refrigerator. Ain't the refrigerator, it's the plumbing. Ain't the plumbing, it's my head. Ain't my head, it's my stomach. Ain't my stomach, it's my feet. Ain't my feet, it's my children. Ain't my children, it's my mama. It ain't that, it's my bills. If it ain't my bills, it's my job. It ain't my job, it's something else. Every day is something. I thought I was talking to real people this morning. Somebody came this morning surviving a week of hell. People judging you, think you got it together. I'm praising, not because I think everything went good. I'm praising God. I'm still alive in the midst of every hell I've been through.
people don't know your pain. They don't know your struggle. They don't know what was taken from you, why you've been attacked. All they know is you're here now. And they've got to, Job has to keep hearing these negative reports. The Bible says while he got the first report, here came the second one. And the people who came were the only ones who survived. The ones who given this message are the only one that survived. Ain't nobody else left to tell me nothing but the same messenger. Then I lose my children, my wealth, my prosperity, my posterity. So I lose my prosperity and my posterity. All in one day. Bible says, when Job got this news, Job tore his robe. And tore his robe and shaved his head, which is a symbol of mourning and grief. But watch this. While he shaved his head and tore his robe, Job fell down and worshiped God. I'm in the text. Verse 21 of that first chapter, Job had, because Job realized this thing is tied into God, because God gave me everything I have. This is what Job said. Naked I came into the world, and naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I wish I had about five people who can praise God without everything going my way, who can glorify him when it doesn't go the way I want it to go. In the midst of my pain, in the midst of my struggles, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. He falls down and worships. Falls down and worships God. He got every reason not to even talk to God. According to man's standards, he shouldn't even fool with God. According to what society teach you and I, how can God be good and your life so bad? God seems odd here. And Job has integrity that goes beyond his paycheck. I wish I had some folk who have integrity. Some money can't buy. It's some shepherds can't give me. It's some camels can't bring to me. It's some sheep can't produce for me. He has integrity with them or without them. So much so, some of y'all are broke and nobody knows. Okay. You go play crazy today. Okay, all right. All right, so I'm not done though, y'all. Because in chapter 2, another meeting takes place. Y'all don't mind if I just walk through the text real quick, do you? I know you got barbecue and you got coals, you're ready to, I understand, but just give me a few moments. I know you got your meat marinating and all that. I wish you get through so I can go and put this meat on the grill. I'm doing the best I can. Stay with me. Chapter 2, Bible says the sons of God have another meeting with God. And God asks Satan. Satan shows up again. Because Satan is upset. Because he saw Job worshiping while wounded. He's worshiping and he's wounded. He's not worshiping because he's winning. Because anybody can worship when you're winning, but can you worship when you're wounded? And watch this, and everybody know you're wounded. Everybody know your business. Everybody know you grieving. Everybody know you've been sick. Everybody know you've been divorced. Everybody know your business and you still worshiping. Because it takes real faith to not be prideful and come like you don't need God and your life is a mess. And Satan sees him. He said, God said, where you been, Satan? I've been on the earth, walking to and fro. Tell me about my boy Job. That you say go leave me because he don't have wealth. He said, well, I hear you, God. But here's the problem. He only praised you not because of his wealth, but he's blessing you because of his health. See, he feels good. He still has, you know, some strength and vibrance. But I bet you if we attacked his body, he wouldn't praise you. He wouldn't serve you. He wouldn't worship you. See, it's two aspects to Job, Satan says. I wanted to attack his wealth. He hung in there. But see, I bet you he won't praise you because you got this hedge around him. I bet you if you just remove that, I can attack his health, and he'll stop glorifying your name. And God says to Satan, all right, you can touch him, but don't take his life. Watch this. You know why? Because it's not your life to touch, Satan. Lord, have mercy. See, God is the giver of life, and he ain't finna put your life in Satan's hands. As long as you breathe, then you still have life. I'll let you bother his body, but don't you bother his breath. And so, Bible says Job is now struck with boils, painful boils, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet, painful boils. He looks ugly and he feels ugly. Nobody want to fool with him. Nothing can be cured. He's got boils and burdens, sores and struggles. None of it he asks for. So much so, he's so pained by these balls that the Bible says he takes a piece of pottery and he's scraping the balls just to find some comfort. He's scraping himself just to find comfort while sitting in ashes. He's living in grief and living in misery, scraping with a piece of pottery. Just to have some temporary relief, he's scraping himself, doing further damage, trying to make himself feel better. Who am I talking to this morning? Who's using some pottery now? You're using some addiction to make yourself feel a little better. It's not helping like it should, but at least you ain't dealing with that. I don't want to feel the sore, so at least I'll just scratch myself. In some ungodly relationship, somebody I'm fooling with, I ain't got no business fooling with. Some habit I done took on, I ain't got no business doing, but I'm just trying to cope with the pain and the condition I'm in, and I'm sitting in the ashes. I'm miserable, and I can't get out of this. But I'm going to keep on just trying to make it best way I can. I'm talking to people this morning who are making it the best way they can. What you're living in right now is not God's best for you. You're just using something to scratch it so you can make it through until God get through do one, whatever he's doing in you. Well, I just gonna stay and keep trying to function and keep trying to live the best I can until God change it. But I'm not, I just gonna keep cutting. Because the more I scratch myself, the more I scab myself. And I'm making the balls worse trying to fix myself. Who am I talking to this morning who is trying to fix you with you? But you are not your problem. You got to put you back in the hands of the one who caused it. Who am I talking to this morning? I know I'm not the only one who's been trying to fix yourself. You're trying to fix your own problem by yourself. You Googling stuff to try to cope with your pain and your issue and your misery, and you're hurting yourself. That's what addictions are. It's temporary means for a permanent problem, which creates a more permanent problem because it's not the means by which we should try to help ourselves. Job just trying to feel better now. He knows he's not whole. He knows he's hurting, but now he's trying to fix it himself. Job is trying to fix the sores, but he can't fix his pain. Because these sores are now manifesting into people, and I ain't want to fool with him. You know how people will be with you 1 minute. When you're on the mountaintop. I thought I had a witness. But when you're in the valley, them same people act like they don't know who you are. I bring it to our tech. I did all that talking to get here. Because now we're in chapter 2, verse 9. And his wife. How do we keep it together when it's all falling apart? Y'all want to know what God says to us about how to keep it together when it's all falling apart? First thing you got to do is dismiss poor counsel. Did y'all hear what God just told you? You've got to dismiss poor counsel. Job's wife says to him, look at you. Look at you. You've lost everything. You have nothing. Best thing for you to do. You still gonna keep your integrity? Best thing for you to do right now. Curse God. And then when you curse God, God will kill you. She does not tell him to commit suicide. She tells him, curse God. Bless God when we got it. Curse God, we without it. While we got it, thank God. When we don't have it, curse God. And in turn, because you curse God, she believes God will kill Job. Because killing Job now will be an easy way out. Let's just go ahead now, Job, and you self-destruct. Here's my trouble with Mrs. Job. Because why don't you curse God? Isn't it wonderful that you got people try to counsel you about something they don't do? If I was you, I would. If I were you, I would. Now, I understand Mrs. Job. I understand her because she's been right by his side as he's lost the shepherds, the sheep, the servants, the camels, the oxen, the donkeys, the children. She's had to witness and deal with the same pain Job has. Amen. So she has every right to feel a certain way, just as Job does. Amen. Because she's had to encounter this pain with him. It's just poor counsel. She didn't mean any harm, but it's just the wrong thing to do. She didn't mean any harm, but it was the wrong thing to say to him. Curse God, and then you will die. So my question, if I was messy, as if I were messy. Thanks be to God, your pastor ain't messy. I thought I would have had more amens on that one. Thanks be to God, your pastor ain't messy. That's right. That's right. But I would ask a question here. Why do you want Job to die and you live? Do you have another Job in mind? What is your reason to tell him, put yourself in this situation and then you'll die and you'll be out of your misery? I would have had more respect for Mrs. Job if she'd have said, we'll curse God. And we'll die. That ain't what she said. Look at you. You gonna still keep your integrity? Why don't you just go and curse God and die? Your counsel is gonna get me in trouble. Be careful who you let talk to you about your trouble. And be careful who you tell your troubles to. May I help somebody real quick? Part of the reason you may be in trouble now and staying in trouble is because you're talking to the wrong folks. And let me get in trouble for 2021 and tell you Facebook is not the counsel for your troubles. Stop telling the World Wide Web stuff you ain't told God about. Do you want it fixed or do you want attention? Because somebody thumbing up your post and hurting your post don't fix the problem. You put more people in your business than need to be in it. Nobody knew your children was cutting up. You posted that. And then when somebody tell you, don't put your business out there, you offended. If you got an MFing problem with what I post on my blanket blanket page, then unblock me. But you have Bible study, you won't go to that. You have worship, you won't go to that. You got prayer every day, you won't go to that. But you'll tell everybody, but who can help you? And then you get some fool who'll tell you, let's go ride or die. Let's go get them. Now you in jail, they ain't got enough money to bail you out. They done pumped you up and gassed you up to make a plum fool out of yourself. And now they calling you, collect. If you need me, call me. I'm trying to minister to my people. Because some of us, it's not a problem being in trouble, but you go stay in trouble, getting counsel from the wrong folks. Here's what you got to know from a historicity's sake, from a standpoint of looking back to this text. If God got you in it, why would God not be enough to get you out of it? All right. Stop leaving God because you don't like where he got you now. Right. Stay with God and God will be able to give you some blessings and teach you stuff until he deliver you from it. Right. Tell your neighbor this is not the time to leave God. Amen. You don't get crazy now. This we ought to really be sober-minded. I love Job because Job has possessions, but his possessions don't have him. Lord have mercy. See, if Job's tie to God was his stuff, he wouldn't even be worshiping. If I got quiet, I've been telling y'all for 4 weeks straight, if you're going to say amen at all times, people won't know you're guilty. Stop getting quiet. Now, all that means is I can deduce from this that we've been tying God and stuff going our way. And we are praising God conditionally, serving God conditionally, and that is not right. You got some poor counsel in your life. Because we just said it a few minutes ago that the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at what? That includes the times where it's going well, when it's not going well, when I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm left, when I'm right, when I'm rich, when I'm poor. Sick and healthy, I will bless the Lord. I better move on now. You got to dismiss poor counsel. Then secondly, you need to declare your personal convictions. When it's falling apart, you got to tell yourself. Why are you telling Job's wife, or when you're telling your poor counsel, you need to tell yourself first. He says to her, if y'all allow me to paraphrase it, do you know what you sound like? In other words, you don't even know who you married. You don't know who you're dealing with. I'm not with God because God give me stuff. I'm not loving God because he give me possessions. I'm not with God because I feel good every day. I'm with God because God is God. If he never does another thing for me, Job says, I'm still going to stay with the Lord. It'll never have to go my way, although I hope it does. Even if it don't go my way, I'm staying with the Lord. Those are his personal convictions. He says, you sound like a foolish woman. Ooh. He told his wife, you sound like a foolish woman. What? Am I supposed to just take the good from God and never take the bad from God? Job knows enough about God to say that even in bad and good, it all works together for my good if it's coming from God. Here's the shout, y'all. If I'm walking on the path to God, with God, No matter what comes, God gonna take care of me. Yes, Lord. You ain't gotta praise him on that. I'll praise him by myself at that point right there. Only reason you ought to be concerned is if you done walk somewhere else. Now, we gotta be careful not to ask God to come get us somewhere we went. Okay. Y'all letting everybody know you're guilty. If you're walking with the Lord, you can take the good with the bad because you know the Lord's going to work it out for your good. For we know. Y'all missed what Paul said. Paul didn't say, I reckon, I figure, for we know that all things work together for good. Watch this. You can't shout unless you meet this part. To them who love the Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who are called according to his purpose. Now, if you don't love the Lord, it ain't going to work out for you. But I need about three or four people who don't mind saying, I love the Lord. It's going to work out for me. 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 I don't know how, I don't know when, but I do know who. As long as I know who, he takes care of how, when, and where. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I thank God for Minister Holmes and Sister Gail. These girls have tickled them ivories this day. They have blessed us in song this day. Amen. As well as Brother Glover, they have blessed us this day. But watch what the Lord showed me in this. Helps bring Romans 8:28 and makes bring Job's life and perspective into makes the clarity. Because a piano, if you ever been to band and then learn music, you got some flat notes and you got some sharp notes. Individually, they don't sound too good. Yeah. The black keys sound different than the white keys. The white keys sound different than the black keys. But when you mess around and put them together, you can make beautiful music. And can I bless somebody real quick? God has taken the flats and the sharps of your life and put them together to make beautiful music. Your heartache, your pain, your sorrow, your joy, your peace, when it don't go well, when it does go well, and put it all together to make beautiful music. I told y'all about the EKG machine, hadn't I? I'm trying to help you understand that God got you in his hand and that you got to praise God in the midst of it. Because according to EKG machine, when things are flat, you're dead. The only sign of life on the machine is when stuff going up and down. You ought to start praising God when your life get up and down because all it means is I'm living. You can't live if everything goes straight. But long as I'm living up and down, God's got me. I'm living. Somebody give God praise. Thank you for life. Oh, Lord. Lord, have mercy. I got one more for you. I got one more example. Maybe that didn't help you. Maybe the music don't help you. Maybe the EKG machine don't help you. But anybody ever drive? And engineers of roadways have so designed, if you'll pay attention, no interstate, highway, byway goes straight.